Chapter 7. I followed Michael's white pickup truck in the Blue Beetle to St. Mary of the Angels Cathedral. It's a big, big church, a city landmark. If there's anything you like in the way of Gothic architecture, you can find it somewhere on St. Mary's. We parked near the back of the cathedral and went to the delivery entrance, a plain oak door framed by lovingly tended rose vines. Michael knocked at the door, and I heard the sound of multiple bolts being undone before the door opened. Father Anthony Forthill opened the door. He was in his late 50s, balding, and carried a comfortable weight of years. He wore black slacks and a black shirt, the stark white square of his clerical collar sharply delineated. He was taller than Shiro, but a lot shorter than everyone else there, and beneath his glasses his eyes looked strained.
"Success?" he asked Michael.
"In part," Michael responded. He held up the folded cloth and said,
"Put this in the cask, please, and we'll need to splint an arm."
Forthill winced and accepted the folded cloth with the kind of ginger reverence paid only to explosives and samples of lethal viruses.
"Right away. Good evening, Mr. Dresden. Come in, all of you."
"Father," I answered, "you look like my day so far." Forthill tried to smile at me, then padded away down a long hallway. Michael led us deeper into the church, up a flight of stairs to a storage room whose boxes had been stacked to the ceiling to make room for a number of folding cots, blocking the view of any windows. A mismatched pair of old lamps lit the room in soft gold.
"I'll get food, something to drink," Michael said quietly.
He headed back out of the room.
"And I need to call Charity.
Sonia, you'd better sit down until we can see to your arm."
"I'll be fine," Sonia said. "I will help with food."
Shiro snorted and said,
"Sit, boy."
He headed for the door, catching up to Michael, and said,
"Call your wife. I will do the rest."
The two left together, their voices lowering to bare murmurs as they entered the hall. Sonia glowered at the door for a moment and then settled down on one of the bunks. He looked around at the room for a moment and then said,
"You use the forces of magic, I take it."
I folded my arms and leaned against the wall. "What gave it away?" He bared his teeth, white against his dark skin.
"How long have you been a Wiccan?"
"A what?"
"A pagan, a witch."
"I am not a witch," I said, glancing out the door. "I am a wizard." Sonia frowned.
"What is the difference?"
"Wizard has a Z." He looked at me blankly. "No one appreciates me," I muttered. "Wicca is a religion. It's a little more fluid than most, but it's still a religion."
"Yent?"
"And I'm not really big on religion. I do magic, sure, but it's like being a mechanic or an engineer. There are forces that behave a certain way. If you know what you're doing, you can get them to work for you. And you don't really need a god or a goddess or a whatever to get involved." Sonia's expression became surprised.
"You are not a religious man, then?"
"I wouldn't burden any decent system of faith by participating in it." The tall Russian regarded me for a moment and then nodded slowly.
"I feel the same way."
I felt my eyebrow arch Spock-like. "That's a joke, right?" He shook his head.
"It is not. I have been an atheist since childhood."
"You have got to be kidding me. You're a Knight of the Cross."
"Duh," he said.
"So if you're not religious, you risk your life to help other people because..."
"Because it must be done,"
he answered without hesitation.
"For the good of the people. Some must place themselves in harm's way. Some must pledge their courage and their lives to protect the community."
"Just a minute," I said. "You became a Knight of the Cross because you were a communist?" Sonia's face twisted with revulsion.
"Certainly not, Trotsky. We're different."
I stopped myself from bursting out in laughter, but it was a near thing. "How did you get your sword?" He moved his good hand to rest on the hilt of the blade where it lay beside him on the cot.
"Esporakios. Michael gave it to me."
"Since when has Michael gone running off to Russia?"
"Not that Michael," Sonia said.
He pointed a finger up.
That, Michael.
I stared at him for a minute and then said, So, you get handed a holy sword by an archangel, told to go fight the forces of evil, and you somehow remain an atheist? Is that what you're saying? Sonya's scowl returned. Doesn't that strike you as monumentally stupid? His glare darkened for maybe a minute before he took a deep breath and nodded.
Perhaps some could argue that I am agnostic.
Agnostic?
One who does not commit himself to the certain belief in a divine power, he said.
I know what it means, I said. What shocks me is that you think it applies to you. You've met more than one divine power. Hell, one of them broke your arm not half an hour ago.
Many things can break an arm. You yourself said that you do not need a god or goddess to define your beliefs about the supernatural.
Yeah, but I'm not agnostic, just nonpartisan. Theological Switzerland, that's me, Sonya said.
Semantics. I do not understand your point.
I took a deep breath, still holding back the threat of giggles, and said, Sonya, my point is that you have got to be more than a little thick to stand where you are, having seen what you've seen, and claim that you aren't sure whether or not there is a god. He lifted his chin and said,
Not necessarily. It is possible that I am mad, and all of this is a hallucination.
That's when I started laughing. I just couldn't help it. I was too tired and too stressed to do anything else. I laughed and enjoyed it thoroughly while Sonya sat on his cot and scowled at me, careful not to move his wounded arm. Shiro appeared at the door, bearing a platter of sandwiches and deli vegetables. He blinked through his owlish glasses at Sonya and then at me. He said something to Sonya in what I took to be Russian. The younger knight transferred his scowl to Shiro, but nodded his head in a gesture deep enough to be part bow, before he rose, claimed two sandwiches in one large hand, and walked out. Shiro waited until Sonya was gone before he set the platter down on a card table. My stomach went berserk at the sight of the sandwiches. Heavy exertion coupled with insane fear does that to me. Shiro gestured at the plate and pulled a couple of folding chairs. I sat down, nabbed a sandwich of my own, and started eating. Turkey and cheese. Heaven.